Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, October the 1st, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We've got plenty coming up in today's episode, but we're actually going to start with a bit of a health theme because an investigation by Kent Online has uncovered the scale of bed blocking in Kent's hospitals, with some patients waiting months to be discharged. Over the past year, almost 40,000 people in two parts of the county specifically were kept in wards after their treatment had finished, costing the NHS around £50 million. One patient waited 204 days to be discharged in Medway, while in East Kent, the longest wait was 195 days. Fiona Lamont's 80-year-old mum, Sandra, has dementia and spent a month longer than she needed to at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford after having a hip operation. Fiona has been speaking to our reporter, Max Chesson.
The frustration is sitting there watching your relative deteriorate in front of your eyes. She didn't need to be in there that long. She could have been home 5 days after, but waiting for the care to be sorted, them to get everything together was ridiculous. She just needed a package of care that suited her, and they couldn't even do that. She had to go back again. it's just horrible, wasn't it? You didn't want to be in hospital so long, did you? No, you hated it. She's lost so much weight because of it.
No one really wants to be in hospital, I suppose, especially because, you know, a month ago, this could have all... It's just such a different outcome, isn't it?
That's this wouldn't have happened if we'd have had... The communication's ridiculous. They're stretched in A&E. The wards aren't. The wards are fine. It's A&E. It all starts at A&E, and then, obviously, like you say, bed blocking, where you get patients in there for weeks at a time that don't need to be. And she's deteriorated because of it, completely. Lost a lot of things, yeah.
What would your warning be to any other families going through the same thing you are?
Be very vocal. Make sure that you're a big present there so they know that they've got to try their best with you. That is horrible to say it, but I sat there watching all these little ladies staring into space on their own. No family there because not everyone's got family, but... It's just heartbreaking the amount of time they're in there when they don't need to be. It's just be very vocal, say your piece, make sure they understand, because no matter what you tell them, it doesn't always get relayed to the next group. It's just they sent her home to here telling them that I have no LPA in place and she's got full capacity. She hasn't. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And They need to get their stuff together. It's just, I don't want her back in hospital, to be honest. If I can treat her at home, I'd rather her be at home now.
Now, bosses at the NHS Trust concerned and within social care in Kent and Medway all say they are working to reduce delays. The Trust covering Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells and Dartford and Gravesham were unable to provide figures to our request for information. Meantime, the government is being urged to invest more into GP surgeries as a survey in Kent shows the workforce is in crisis. Doctors and practice managers across the county were asked about their experiences. Nearly 40% of GPs said they plan to retire, reduce hours or leave the NHS within 5 years, while almost three quarters reported being under significant stress. I've been speaking to Dr. Caroline Rickard, who's from the Kent Local Medical Committee.
GPs go to work to do a good job, and every staff member who works in a GP practice goes to work to deliver their job well, and to look after patients. And we all find it really upsetting when we're not feeling that we're able to deliver the service we want to deliver. I think, yeah, we've heard a lot about from the Labour government about continuity of care. And absolutely, that's what I became a GP to deliver. I want to see and get to know my patients. And luckily I do. But I do often hear from my patients that they want to see me and they can't because I might not be available, because there is only one of me. And we know that our GP numbers in Kent and Medway are lower than the national average. So we are 22% lower than that national average. So one full-time GP has around 2,744 patients in Kent and Medway. And that means that we are working really at our limits. So, one of my colleagues, we asked for free comments in our survey, and they really were quite powerful. One colleague commented that every day is a firefight. You do what needs to be done to be safe, but don't have the time to provide the quality care I'd like to. And I think that really does exemplify how a lot of us feel.
It's probably quite timely that the results of this survey have come out now, because it's party conference season and we've had the Labour Party conference where it's still going on at the moment. The Health Secretary has been making quite big announcements about the NHS. I'm sure you've been keeping on top of those. Is there anything that you've heard that has worried you or reassured you over the past day or so?
I think at the moment I feel more worried than reassured. I think that there is the aspiration of the government's 10-year plan, absolutely, people, all medical professionals support an aspiration to move care into community settings and to move that care around the patient so that the care is around the patient rather than the patient moving from service to service. And that causes a lot of workload in itself in terms of, lots of referrals going backwards and forwards. And that's something that is definitely increasing pressure at general practice level. The problem that we have is that the reality is so different, it's going to take quite a lot of investment to get us there. And I think at the moment, what we are feeling in general practice is that isn't there.
You mentioned, Caroline, that you carried out this survey 2 years ago. Things really haven't got any better now. What are you going to do with the results of this survey? Do you take it to local MPs? Do you take it to leading health professionals and say, right, now something needs to be done? Where does it go from here?
Yeah, that's exactly where it goes. So we have sent it to all the local MPs and have invited them to have a conversation with us. We continue to work with our commissioners. But many of these solutions sit with government, with the national team, and with Treasury, and we need that sustained investment to general practice to enable us to thrive and move forward.
All this comes as we're told it should be easier from today to get a GP appointment, as all surgeries must now offer an online booking system. The aim is to cut waiting times for people with busy lives. Elsewhere, health bosses say a Kent hospital that's been shut for months could reopen by Christmas. The inpatient unit at Faversham Cottage Hospital suddenly closed in June due to problems with staffing. The recruitment of 6 new employees has raised hopes it could reopen in December. And pregnant women in Kent are being urged to stop smoking, as figures seen by the podcast reveal hundreds are still doing it while expecting. Stats show more than 1 in 10 mums-to-be in Thanet are having cigarettes, the highest in the county. Dartford has the lowest percentage of expectant women lighting up. Well, Dr. Julian Spinks is a GP in Medway, and he's been chatting to Lucy about the problems it can cause.
We all know that smoking's bad for you anyway, but in the case of pregnancy, you've got the mother and the baby, and smoking affects both of them. And we've known for a very long time things like smoking will increase the risk of miscarriage, increase the risk of premature birth, and the baby dying inside the womb or just after they're born. About a third of all deaths in that circumstance are down to smoking. There are other things. If you're smoking around the time when you're in early pregnancy, there's greater risks of things like cleft palate cleft lip. The baby's growth can be affected, so they are born lighter and more prematurely. There's more likely to be bleeding at the end of pregnancy. And then after the baby's born, they're at greater risk of things like cot death, asthma, ear infections, pneumonia, and we think things like ADHD. So it's amazing how much of a band effect smoking can be, which is why we're very keen to get women to stop smoking, ideally before they get pregnant, but actually once they're pregnant, they definitely need to stop.
Yeah, and as you say, we kind of all do know the risks now around smoking, but why do you think some women find it difficult to give up the habit when they become pregnant?
Well, nicotine is addictive, and I think anybody who has smoked will say how difficult it is to come off it. And that's why there's been a lot of effort put in to help people quitting smoking over the years. But not everybody plans a pregnancy and think several months ahead, well, the thing I need to do is to stop smoking. So often they're pregnant before they realise and get a chance. And that's why the NHS is looking at ways to support them. They'll be asked about their smoking, have carbon monoxide tests done. There's even a scheme where there's incentives. So if they go to stop smoking services and they stay off the cigarettes, they'll actually get vouchers, potentially up to the value of about £400 from doing that. So all of that is a way of trying to incentivise people to give up.
So what advice would you give to an expecting mum who does smoke and wants to give up?
My advice would be to start talking to your midwife, because they'll be aware of perhaps some of the specialist services in your local area to help you quit when you're pregnant, because there's a different range of treatments that can be used in pregnancy compared with people who are not pregnant, or obviously if they're men. And so asking about that, you should be actually asked at your booking anyway whether you smoke or not, but to feed into that and take that opportunity. And really, as a plea, it takes an opportunity not to stop smoking when you're pregnant, but to stop smoking for life. Because if you carry on smoking after the baby's born, there are still risks to your child going on after that.
Julian was chatting to us at the start of Stoptober, a month that's dedicated to encouraging people to quit.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a Dartford man's been sent to prison after launching an unprovoked attack on another man in a park in Stroud. Joshua Gamble punched his victim as he walked his dog through Church Green on April the 1st. The 20-year-old from Knockall Road in Greenhithe has been locked up for 12 months. Police have been called to a wrestling event near Canterbury after a spectator reportedly made an inappropriate comment to a teenage boy. One person was asked to leave the event at Ash Village Hall on Friday night. Officers say an investigation is underway to establish the full circumstances. A man's been arrested following a suspected hit-and-run crash on the M20 near Ashford. Police were called after a car and lorry collided on the London-bound stretch between junctions 11 and 10 yesterday. We're told the occupants of the car had left on foot before officers arrived. A suspect is now in custody. And a pub in Deal will have to reduce its opening hours following a second licence review over excessive noise. Licensing officials visited the Bohemian in April, but received further noise complaints from neighbours in the months that followed. The venue will now have to close completely at 11 p.m. Next on the podcast today, and a grandmother from Goudhurst says she's still in shock after her home was targeted in a suspected arson attack. Neighbours spotted the blaze on the edge of Valerie XL's house on High Ridge on September the 18th. A garden shed was destroyed in the blaze, along with things that belonged to Valerie's late husband Norman, which were inside. When speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson, Valerie had one question for the person who started the fire.
Why? That's the main thing. Why were you off your rocker? And I don't want him near me. Well, he can't come near me, because if not, you get arrested. But everyone who's come up and said, what the heck? I said, it's dry tinder. Even the council bloke and the fire brigade, they said, though it's bad, it could have been a lot about worse.
In total, how much damage do you think done in terms of like a price?
I mean, there was his spades, his rakes, his forks, hammers, chisels. It's not big amounts, it's little things, and they were his treasured. It was his treasured stuff. That was what he left. I mean, he's now been gone near enough 4 years.
Well, police have told us a 30-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of arson in connection with what happened. He's been released on bail until December the 17th while inquiries continue.
Kent Online reports.
There are plans to build a 660-home estate on the site of a former golf club near Sevenoaks. The development at the Broke Hill Golf Club would also include a retirement village and care home. A similar scheme was refused back in 2019 because of the impact on the Greenbelt. A Michelin-starred chef has teamed up with Canterbury Food Bank to create recipe cards for emergency parcels. Stephen Harris runs a Sportsman in Seasalter and has created dishes people can cook with the same ingredients handed out in charity parcels. They've been illustrated by pupils from local schools. A world-famous architect who helped spark the regeneration of two Kent towns has died. Sir Terry Farrell is best known for the MI6 building in London, but he also had a big influence on Margate and Folkestone. He was knighted in 2001 and passed away over the weekend at the age of 87. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told it's still crucially important. The stories of the Windrush generation are shared today. Thousands of people moved from the Caribbean between the 1940s and 70s to rebuild Britain following the Second World War. Among them was Asquith Xavier, who lived in Chatham and fought against discrimination to become the first black train guard at Euston Station. His granddaughter, Camelia Xavier Chahota, runs Medway Culture Club, which is putting on events during Black History Month. I've been chatting to her.
Not only was the Windrush generation invited to Britain to help rebuild it, after having helped Britain win World War One and World War Two, I think it's important that people understand that although people from the Caribbean migrated, largely they were British citizens who had helped Britain. And sometimes it is that sort of history that's not communicated through your mainstream education, and it can create ignorance. So I think it's important to share. Also, I'm excited to give a platform to that generation to be heard. It's only through topics like the Windrush scandal that you get the rise of this kind of negativity. Unfortunately, there aren't just negative stories. There are positive outcomes that came from that mass migration from the Caribbean. And we're here to share that and celebrate the people who helped to, you know, join the NHS. When Windrush docked, it was the same year that the NHS launched. It was bolstered by many people. They weren't taking jobs. They were helping. So I really feel very passionately about the fact that we share this history that's not compulsory on the national curriculum with not only the elder generation, and you can hear it firsthand through local people, but also the future generations, the ones that we work with at Medway Culture Club.
And it seems very timely, doesn't it, at the moment, with all the talk of migration, illegal migration. It's a very divisive subject at the moment. So I think it will be perhaps even more powerful this time around. We've seen, I'm sure you have, in Medway, the flags that are going up, and there's a sense of unease, isn't there? And how important is it that we bring communities together, have these conversations and learn about what's happened in the past?
It is vital that we are working together cohesively as a community, and that we do not stand for people who are trying to be divisive and counteract that unity that we have worked really hard. And I'm pleased to say we have largely here in Medway. So stories like Windrush aren't unique. We have migration from all over the world, and I think it's important for everybody to see that as a good thing and where the benefits lie from being a multicultural society.
And you can find details of all of the events that are being hosted by Medway Culture Club by heading to their website.
Kent Online reports.
A boating club battling to keep their site on the Swanscombe Peninsula say they have accepted defeat. Broadness Cruising Club has been operating since 1991, but had its land access revoked by new owners. Despite their efforts to mount a legal challenge, they are in touch with the landowners to arrange a managed exit. Plans have been put in to knock down a fire-damaged building next to a Grade 2 listed pub near Tenterden. The Bull Inn in Rolvenden was damaged when the outbuilding caught alight in January. Bosses now want it demolished and replaced with a two-storey block for staff accommodation. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. Lidl have announced plans to close their store in Folkestone Town Centre and relocate to a residential area. Their current site is in Shelland Street, but bosses are considering opening a new supermarket in East Station Goods Yard near Southern Way. It's raised concerns about an increase in traffic in the already busy area. We now know when the new HMV store in Canterbury is going to open. The entertainment retailer will welcome customers in St Margaret Street from Friday. It'll also see the launch of its first in-store bookshop in the county. And finally, a wine producer that has a vineyard in Kent has picked up one of the most prestigious awards in the industry. Knightimber has a site in Thurnham. They've been recognised for their 2016 Blanc de Blanc. Their head winemaker also won Sparkling Winemaker of the Year. Now this year, Knightimber have started their earliest ever harvest and are confident 2025 will be a top quality vintage. Kate's been speaking to Brad Greatrix, who's the senior winemaker at Knightimber, about this year's harvest.
2025 has been, we started picking on September 24th. far more typical for us would be beginning our harvest somewhere 8th, 9th, 10th, 10th of October. So we're a couple of weeks ahead. And it's really because we're at the mercy of Mother Nature. And we've had a warm spring and a warm summer, and grapevines just respond to that. And the ripening moves that much further forward.
So it's quite an early harvest, as you say. What about volume-wise? Have you seen more returns, more grapes on the vines?
Unfortunately not. A quirk of grapevines is that they set their crop over a 2-year cycle. So the number of bunches on the vine from this year is actually most significantly influenced by the spring that we had last year, which was rather unremarkable. But the knock-on effect of that is the good spring of 2025 sets us up well for 2026. But still, the weather of 2025 is important in terms of ripening and developing the crop that is here. And from all signs, that's been extremely positive. So we're optimistic from a quality perspective, even if we aren't going to be overwhelmed with grapes this year.
I was going to ask you about that. So we're expecting that the quality of the wine, I suppose, it's going to be good this year.
Yes. The things that we can measure and track and monitor weather-wise tell us that the most similar year to 2025 for us was 2018. And that was a year where we were able to make all 7 of our sparkling wines, including our prestige cuvées. And so we're hopeful that we can follow track in 2025.
Amazing.
Still a lot to play for, though. Thinking of those prestige cuvées, 1086 by Nye Timber, it's 10 years before those wines will be on the market. So a long way to go, but at this early stage, at mile 2 of the marathon, we can be optimistic.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket, and Ben Compton's picked up 3 awards at Kent's end of season celebrations. The 31-year-old was the second highest run scorer in Division 2 of the County Championship. He was named Men's Player of the Year, Batter of the Year and Players Player. Isabella James won the Women's Player Award. And in football, Gillingham's under 17s beat Cambridge United under the lights at Priestfield last night. Alfie Cross got 2 of the goals as they ran out 4-2 winners in the group stage of the PDL Cup. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.